Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Our trivia contest, so to speak, coming up at 9:20. Do you know more civics than yours truly, Nick Kale? We'll give you a chance to think. Because everybody always says, well, you know, the YouTube chat and on Twitter, you don't know what you're talking about. All right, well, let's see if you put your money where your mouth is, right? And you don't even have to put up any money. We're going to give you a prize. So you're going to have pride. You're going to be able to rub it in my face and get a free gift if you can do better than 7 out of 10 on this civics test. Also, what's on the cut sheet part 12 coming up at the bottom of the hour? Maybe some voicemails today in music history from Phil Omquist, who had to endure another Jets loss in person again yesterday.
Wow.
My guy, he just keeps driving 2 hours to the Meadowlands to watch his team lose.
Yeah, the freezing cold.
The commitment to non-excellence is astounding. From Phil Omquist, but it's just remarkable stuff. And then, of course, what's on tap for the Dawn Show. Yeah. But before we get to all of that, and by the way, climb in now. Get your spot on the phone lines, 855-839-1210. We're going to give you a chance for the civics test coming up at 9:20 this morning. 10 questions, multiple choice answers. I'll give you all the answers. You pick them, A, B, C, or D, and we'll come to you in about 12 minutes. But let's get to some of the news out there in the world. Time for a Dawn Stenslin Big 3 at 9:08.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale & Company.
Sponsored by McCausland Lock and Alarm this morning. Number one, well, we have President-elect Donald J. Trump predicting, apparently, that President Joe Biden would pardon his son Hunter. Technically a local story, since they're from Delaware locally. But this is a decision that is still rocking politics and pundits this morning. So in this one, Donald J. Trump, calling him out a miscarriage of justice, while even Democrats are calling Biden's decision, quote, selfish. 82-year-old commander-in-chief flying to Africa after making the bombshell announcement. This was a White House statement that was released weeks before his son was set, of course, to face sentencing for federal tax and gun crimes. And in it, raising a lot of eyebrows, the fact that President Biden naming out 2014 through 2024, a decades-long period, and really pointing out this morning that 2014 is when Hunter became a board member of one Burisma.
I would love to have a clean slate for the last 10 years of my life. Just pardoned in every aspect, professionally and personally, criminally. Just like, it's like, you ever see those movies where they have the clean slate on the little disc and it's like you're way out of the world and you get a new life and they just wipe the system clean of all of your information? Wouldn't you love to have one of those do-overs? It's nice.
Yeah, he got a do-over.
Must
right?
be nice when your dad's the big guy. By the way, are you a little surprised at the timing? So on Sunday night, they do this coming out of the holiday, as opposed to saying this on Tuesday or Wednesday last week as everybody went into their holiday. Typically, the news dump comes when you head into something, not coming out of it, right?
Well, but they were having their vacation. Mm. They were on vacation. They didn't want to deal with the drama, the media chasing them down, camping out. Because the media would know where they were.
That's true.
Celebrating.
Yeah.
You know, so then they would have been camped out.
Mm. Okay.
So now he's got a trip planned, you know.
Yeah.
Tougher to track him down.
Yeah.
Got that one going on. Number two, and this is there's several new studies out, but one in particular, these new studies revealing that a middle age spread or having a so-called beer belly or muffin top could indicate that you're more likely to get Alzheimer's within 20 years.
A middle-aged spread, huh?
A middle-aged spread. So the researchers studied people in between their early 40s to early 60s. That was the focus of this study. The good news out of this whole thing is saying that during this time period of middle age, you can make healthy changes that they believe influence your health and your disease risk, especially when it comes to Alzheimer's and dementia.
Okay.
So in this, all of these patients underwent scans of their body to track their visceral fat, and at the same time, scans of their brain to detect those amyloid proteins that are linked to Alzheimer's specifically.
Mm.
So they say that the latest study shows, and visceral fat just is the fat that wraps around your organs. So that's the so-called skinny fat.
Oh.
That's visceral fat. It's like, it's maybe some people will call it a beer gut or a wine gut.
Vodka gut.
But you still may have a BMI that's on the charts is healthy.
Oh.
So it's not, you know how I tease that my brother talks about like hail damage on mm-hmm. somebody's legs or butt or whatever. But the hail damage that John calls it, that's subcutaneous fat. Because I had to look this up. What's visceral fat?
Yeah.
So subcutaneous fat, even though we're all think that it's ugly, mm-hmm. it's actually not like bad for your health.
Right.
Visceral fat is the one that's sort of hidden because it's in your belly and it's high. It's wrapping around your vital organs.
Unlike the visual fat, which is not hidden.
Well put.
Which is what I'm dealing with here from like my torso down to my waist. But the visual fat.
The cool thing is, so they said making these significant changes, if you don't make it, it affects your. Literally, your molecules, your metabolism can lead to cardiovascular disease and all the skin, muscle, mm-hmm. all these different problems. So the good news is we all have the power and the control to change this. So it's not stuff that you're born with.
Oh, okay.
It's not. So it's having to do with, you know, it's not biological age. It's the type of aging that we all control.
And you said this study was done for people early 40s to early 60s.
Yes, middle-aged people, that's what they're calling it. So middle ages.
I'm in my early 40s, so that's good.
So you qualify. Yeah. So
the good news is I'll be dead in my early 60s.
Sure. No, but that's what they're saying, that because you've always talked about, you know, your biological age as far as because of the tragic, like, family history.
Yep.
What they're saying is...
Bad genes, Dawn, bad genes.
But what they're saying is it's not all about the genes anymore, that we do have a huge level of control.
Yeah. Catch them our genes.
To make these transformations.
Different genes, Joe, come on.
And to lead healthier lives.
Yeah. I will give Nick Hale this. You know, even though he comes from bad genes, he's still like you do try and, you know, you work out a lot.
Yeah.
You did the
you eat clean.
Yeah, are you clean?
Family's behind the badge, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You got to have a little like the drinking, you got to have a little vice,
right,
you know,
right.
Like there's got to be one vice you
That's
have.
Right. So. I work out 5 days a week. I eat clean 6 days a week. I have one cheat day of food, and I have 2 days a week where I booze.
What, Friday and Saturday night?
Friday and Saturday. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, this notion that I drink every night is just fake news on social media.
Well, I mean, especially now that the family's here.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in the two
maybe,
years.
Maybe in 2022 I did.
Maybe in the 2 years when your family wasn't here, there was more boozing.
All right. We don't need to bring that up, Mr. Stocker.
Five nights.
You could be listening.
That'll also be in my book, Dawn.
Hey,
number
look.
Three in the big three.
Look, I am all for, I don't care how uncomfortable it makes either of you. I am all for real radio.
So yes.
I'm going to bring up whatever's on my mind.
I am all for giving way too much of my personal life. It's endearing to the audience.
Too much radio is fake. Thank you.
I agree.
By the way, the Bidens are releasing their White House theme this holiday season, a season of peace and light.
Oh, yeah, boy.
So this is the season of peace of light, peace and light. The First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden,
Doctor.
PhD.
My wife's a collegial.
She's unveiling the decorations and delivering a holiday message at the White House today.
Peace and light.
Peace and light.
You know, for an administration that's known to plagiarize, I thought you were going to say for a moment, peace and prosperity.
Several hundred volunteers spending the last week decorating the White House's public spaces with nearly 10,000 feet of ribbon, you know, 28,000 ornaments, more than 2,000 doves for the celebration today, and then 165,000 lights on wreaths, garland, and other displays, 83 Christmas trees, etc.
Wow.
Doves, we need Ozzy there to
Right?
Bite.
Or fake Ozzy.
Bite one of their heads off.
Where is fake Ozzy? Come on, fake Ozzy, get on that voicemail machine. That's coming up later today as well. By the way, speaking of Christmas trees, we did the Christmas tree much against my protest, Wednesday night.
Oh, that's not right. No.
The day before Thanksgiving, we put our tree up.
That's a fail. That's a fail, Kale.
I agree. And it rhymes.
That's a fail, Kale.
We did get our tree yesterday. We went and picked it up from Holland's.
Is it officially up, or are you letting it kind of fall out and open up a little bit?
Yeah, we didn't have... Well, we did it after church, then we ate, then we went to Holland's, but then we had to get back, you know, for the Eagles.
Yeah.
So Eagles!
What?
I got to ask you guys, because you've done this in years past, where you get a Christmas tree, and then you let it out on the back patio for, like, 2 weeks.
No.
I've
done it for days.
You cannot pull one over on me, Stanislav. I've worked with you too long. And I know that you've done this in the past, where it's been literally out on your back patio for 2 weeks, right?
It's in the garage.
Oh, for God's sake. So it needs to get in water.
Yeah.
I know.
And when you let it start to thaw out and kind of expand its wings... Do you do that after you put it in the stand? Like, does it go into the stand stiff and unburdened?
Yes. Stiff and unburdened.
It's in, like, the net thing. We're going to do it today, I promise.
Okay.
Now I have to.
Yeah.
Because I'm being called, because I usually...
Put a little sugar in there, too.
A little sugar?
Yeah. Is that right? Sugar?
I bought the stuff. Yeah. You can buy the thing
at the
front desk at Holland's.
The evergreen stuff, yeah. Yeah.
So I'll let you know. I'll put
Parker, when's your tree going up?
It went up on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they got it done. They didn't leave it out in the patio.
By the way, after Saturday, definitely after. But did you chop yours down, or did you get it from tree lot?
From Holland's True Value. No. So Lewis Holland. So they actually have them. They've just cut them.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
so it's a tree lot, but it's you didn't get down on your Larry didn't get down on his belly and. Saw.
Is it straight?
Not use,
is never, it up?
Yeah, he's not a saw guy.
Yeah, one of these years, we'll do Dawn. Like, me and Larry Bear will go out to the woods.
Yeah.
We'll chop down our own tree, throw it right in the back of the truck.
It's never going to happen.
Bring it home. Show you women how it's done.
Don't feel bad, Dawn. One of our pantry doors fell off the day before Thanksgiving, and I actually called. My handyman. Where are you? Hello. Come and paid a ton of money
paid a handyman
for this guy to hang a pantry door for me because I couldn't do it, and we couldn't have that, you know, with all our family coming up there. So
no, Larry actually asked Lewis Holland, "Can you guys deliver?" I'm like, Lewis, let's just throw it in the back of the minivan.
Was his DoorDash?
Come on, man, can you deliver?
You can get him delivered.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
we did.
So you don't have to put it on the. Roof rack.
I just throw it in there.
Yeah.
I don't even bother with tying it up on the roof rack. You know what? We are sponsored by McCausland Lock and Alarm. Business owners count on McCausland's Lock and Alarm to secure and control access to their facilities. Featuring top-of-the-line equipment, industry-leading customer service, and owner Tom McCausland's wealth of experience. I think I need them because Larry had lost his only car key.
Poor Larry.
But I think they do that, right? They do the replacement.
Sure.
I feel for
which
him.
If they lose they one of their keys, and then, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Then this is a good time
yep.
to get McCausland to make your other key.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
100%.
Because we had to dig through the garbage. Yeah, that was our Friday.
Yeah.
It was just a line.
Through the garbage where he had thrown it away. So, McCausland's Lock and Alarm. Audience of one.
See, no, I'm...
Securing your business, securing your future.
This is what I've created. I've created real radio where people just spout out whatever they're thinking.
Yeah.
You'd like to vent about people who lose stuff.
You wanted free speech, brother.
I know. I love it.
Thank you.
Makes us relatable.
McCausland Lock and Alarm. Thank God they exist.
Yes. All right. That'll do it. So let's get to it on the other side.
Yeah.
We will have our civics test. 10 questions, multiple choice. Are you better than Nick Kale?
Well,
I got a 7 out of 10 at 5:30 this morning.
So is that what we're basing it on, or do they have to get all 10 correct to get the prize?
I would argue if we get to the point by 9:30 or 9:35 and somebody's tied me, that's good enough.
Okay.
By the way, the prize today is a pair of tickets to Yannick's holiday mixtape.
Cool.
On December 12th, coming up at the Marian Anderson Hall in Philadelphia. Tickets available at Ensemble, that's Ensemble, artsphilly.org. So that's the prize.
Get in now.
If you do well on the civics, we've got a bunch of people on board already. Brian and Tom will lead us off. You can climb in right behind them. 855-839-1210. Civics test, a prize and pride that you can hold over me forever if you can beat my score of 7 out of 10.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
In the transitory process between one administration to the next, and obviously we'll talk about the big stories, the big issues of the day, but the first idea was to take this civics test that the Washington Post has behind a paywall, and it's 10 questions, and it's, do you know more civics than an eighth grader? And our prize today is a pair of tickets to Yannick's holiday mixtape coming up on December 12th at Marian Anderson Hall in Philadelphia. And I took it this morning. I got 7 out of 10 right. There was one where I second-guessed myself, so I probably would have gotten 8 right. But again, I didn't stick to the tutelage of, you know, always go with your gut and your first instinct. But we've got people on the line.
Yep.
And we'll see if you guys can beat my score of 7 out of 10. I believe somebody will.
So they get one wrong and they're still in it?
Yes. We'll go down the list and we'll go through the 10 questions and see how many they get right out of 10.
Okay.
I've got a correct sounder on my board, but I don't have a buzzer.
I have it.
You have them?
I'll handle it for you.
Beautiful. All right, let's start with Stenzlin, you're doing this as well. We're gonna put Dawn to the test. We want Stalker to go to the test as well.
I took it already.
Oh, you did?
Well, oh. I found it.
Darn it.
Holy crap!
You finding it and taking the test are two different things. How am I to arrive at the conclusion that you took said test?
I did take this. All right. Said test.
Brian is up first in Wayne. Brian, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Good morning to you.
Hi, Brian. All right, here we go.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Great.
There we go.
There we go. All right, Brian, question number one, and they are multiple choice. I will give you the answers. Let's see here. Which of the following is not a delegated power of Congress? Is it passing federal laws? Is it impeaching and removing the president from office? Is it creating lower federal courts? Or is it negotiating and making treaties?
I'm going to say creating lower courts.
That is incorrect. I will not give the answer because we're going to go through these with other people.
Sure.
So let's move on to question number two. Which of the following founding principles sits at the heart of the preamble to the Declaration of Independence? Is it natural rights, checks and balances, bicameral legislature, or rule of law?
Natural rights.
Yep. We the
people. Correct. All right. One for two. Question number three. Which of the following is most clearly outside of Congress's power as delegated by the Constitution?
Mm.
Declaring war after the nation is attacked.
Yep.
Passing a tax increase to reduce the nation's deficit. Regulating commerce that stays within a single state. Or passing a law to further regulate the post office.
Four.
And is incorrect.
Sorry.
Incorrect.
Sorry.
All right, we're one for three so far, but not bad. You still have a chance. Got to run the table, though. Here we go. Question number four. If the federal government prosecutes...
By the way, can I just say this? There's no way eighth graders are passing this.
There's no shot.
Zero chance.
I just dunked on all those 13-year-olds with my 7 out of 10.
100%.
All right, question four. If the federal government prosecutes a company for using unfair methods of keeping competitors out of the market, which of the following laws would it be enforcing? Is it the Patriot Act? Is it the Sherman Antitrust Act? Is it the Civil Rights Act of 1964? Or is it the Taft-Hartley Act?
Sherman Antitrust Act.
Good.
Boom. All right.
Oh, nice.
So he's got what?
You
got
to run the table.
That's
now.
Two out of four.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Question five. Which of the following laws best demonstrates the legislative branch checking the executive branch within our system of government? Is it the War Powers Resolution of 73?
1973.
That's correct. Is it the Homestead Act of 1862? Is it the Social Security Act of 1935? Or is it the Voting Rights Act of 1965?
War Powers Act.
Boom. How about that?
Wow.
3 out of 5 nice. So far.
Nice.
All right, here we go.
And we know he did not get the answers firsthand because he got a couple wrong.
That's right. So, all right, here we go.
Brian and Wayne, a very honest
that's right.
player.
He could max out with 8 if he hits the next 5. Question number 6. Which of the following demonstrates the 12th Amendment at work in a presidential election? All right, these answers are a little bit long, so try to stay with me here. Term limits prevented George Washington from running for president a third time in the election of 1800. Is it B, no candidate won a majority of electoral votes, so the House of Representatives selected the president in the election of 1824? Is it C, the vote counting was too close to call, so the Supreme Court selected the winner in the election of 2000? Or is it D, Rutherford B. Hayes won a majority of electoral votes, but because he did not have a majority in popular votes, he did not win the election of 1876.
Hayes.
Say that again?
You say Hayes.
Oh, you said Hayes.
Rutherford.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said Hayes. Nope, that is incorrect. All right, so you can at least tie me if you hit the next 3, Brian.
It was number 2. You got to say what it was.
Well, no, we're not saying. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Oops.
Brian's going to get...
You better keep your mouth closed.
Brian's going to get the prize because we're...
Yeah, this is taking...
Yeah, Brian's being a sweetheart.
So let's see if we can get through these last 3. All right, here we go. Actually, the last 4. Question number 7. You're sitting on 3. You can still tie me at 7. Question number 7. What type of congressional committee is permanent? Would it be standing, constitutional, select, or conference?
I'm going to say standing.
You got it. All right.
Here we go.
3 more to go, and you can tie me with 7 out of 10, mm-hmm. which, as we've learned this morning, is no longer a C. Question number 8. Federalist Paper. Oh, I love the Federalist Papers. Federalist Paper number 62 argues in favor of equal representation of both large and small states in the Senate. How do they argue this arrangement will support the federal structure of the Constitution? Is it A, it makes sure that the interests of all states have an equal voice, regardless of size? Is it B, it helps the Senate make decisions faster by reducing the effects of state population differences? Is it C, it allows larger states to balance out the power of the president in the government? Or is it D, it shows that each citizen has equal power when voting for their senators?
A.
Yes. Boom. All right, here we go.
Wow, look at him.
2 more.
He's going to do his,
tie.
He's going to do as good as you do.
7 out of 10 might be
Maybe.
The benchmark.
Maybe.
We'll see.
7 out of 10.
Here we go. Question number 9. In the Supreme Court case, Texas v. Johnson, 1989, the majority ruled that flag burning, which we've talked about this case on this show, is protected symbolic speech. What was a key argument presented in the dissenting opinion? Meaning the differing opinion. Is it A, the dissent emphasized that protecting flag burning would lead to a slippery slope of disrespect towards all national symbols and undermine the rule of law? Is it B, the dissent maintained that all forms of protest, including flag burning, should be restricted to maintain public order and prevent unrest? Is it C, the dissent said symbolic speech should be protected only if it does not provoke strong emotional responses from the public? Or is it D, the dissent argued that the flag represents the values and sacrifices of the nation, and that acts and actions like burning it undermine national unity and respect for democracy?
D.
That is correct. Woo-hoo. Here we go, Brian.
Last one.
Yep. Your chance to tie me with 7. All right. In Common Sense, Thomas Paine argued for American independence from Britain. What was his key argument in favor of the colonies breaking away from British rule? Is it A, he claimed that the colonies' religious and cultural values were at odds with those of Britain, so he made independence necessary? Is it B, he believed that Britain's military presence in the colonies threaten the peace and security of American society? Is it C, he believed that having a king was absurd and useless, and that the colonies could govern themselves better without one? Or is it D, he suggested that the colonies would gain immediate military support from other nations if they declared independence from Britain?
C.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Good job, Brian.
That is correct. 7 out of 10. Brian, I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah.
Do not hang up. And we're going to make the ruling here. Do we want to?
No.
Are we out of time?
Yeah. Okay. We should give Brian the.
Okay. So Brian does get it.
Yeah.
All right. So, Brian, you have won the tickets.
Yep. Say it.
Should we else? What?
No, I was going to say, should we give the answers to the ones he got wrong?
Yeah. Do you remember which ones he got wrong? That was a long exercise.
It was.
Yeah, I forget. But he got 7 out of 10.
Yep.
What did I get wrong? I got, let's see here.
Let me just go through. Which of the following is not a delegated power of Congress? The correct answer is negotiating and making treaties.
Yes, D.
He got 2.
Natural rights.
Yep.
3 was regulating commerce that stays within a single state.
Yeah, he got that one wrong. Which of the following is most clearly outside Congress's power as delegated by the Constitution? It's regulating commerce that stays within a single state.
It's a little bit tricky because it's regulating commerce. If it's state to state, intrastate, then it, you know, would be correct. But it was within a single state. So that one's like a little tricky.
The wording is critical.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which of the following demonstrates the 12th Amendment at work in a presidential election? The answer was B, no candidate won a majority of electoral votes, so the House of Representatives selected the president in the election of 1824. Mm-hmm. I think those are the only 3 that he got wrong.
Yeah, there you go. Nice work out of Brian.
Brian.
So congratulations. We will have more prizes later this week and maybe come up with some different ideas to get you involved beyond just the morning mystery movie clip. All right, on the other side, the cut sheet part due, perhaps a clip or so, and then we'll get to Today in Music History and what's on tap for the Dawn Show. Kale and Company, back after this.
But you have to come away with me to paradise. You may have heard I've fallen in love again with Italia. And now I know why Italy is the most revisited country in the world. I hope you join me next spring on the Italian Riviera. Lorenzo and Romina, yes, they'll be back with us. And once again, conservative tours, crafting an itinerary that is sure to enchant all of us once again. Tuscany, the Riviera, the Northern Italian Lakes region, Cinque Terre, and dining events you'll write home about. $53.78, yes, that includes your airfare, Pisa, Michelangelo's Florence, and the fashion capital of Milan. Call toll-free 888-733-9494. You can go to conservativetours.com. Scroll down. You'll see my name, my picture, and then the itinerary. Oh, the luxury hotels. A Mercedes coach and a tour leader who is absolutely the best. That's Conservative Tours in Italy. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Charming Siena, home to Il Palio, the medieval Manhattan, San Gimignano, Medina, Lake Como, Vernazza. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Portofino. ConservativeTours.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Penn State's backdoored their way in.
By the way, they will play Oregon, number one Oregon.
That's number one and undefeated.
Oregon, right here. You can hear it all Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I think the coverage starts at 7:30, so it'll all be here live on 1210 WPHT. But so Michigan wins. They come out with the Michigan flag, and they try and plant it in the middle of the field where the big Ohio State symbol is. Phil, you want to run? Do you want to run that and just show the? See, there we go.
There it comes from the end zone to the 50-yard line. 3 or 4 players. Big maize and blue flag.
And then
kaboom!
Puts it down.
Boom! Stick it in there. Stick the landing. Yeah, stick the landing. Here it comes. And poof.
Goes down.
All right.
And then you see all the Ohio State players come over and
yes.
This big kerfuffle, right?
Big, big brawl breaks out. You see it there. Some punches being thrown, some shoving, some throwing of other people to the ground. Players, coaches, random people with scarves, winter hats.
So now the report is that somebody got maced?
There's actually video footage, two different angles of seeing some sort of sprayed mist.
Okay.
And people are arriving at the conclusion that it was mace and that it was from either campus security or law enforcement.
Hmm.
Which, to me, if it is law enforcement doing that, it feels excessive and egregious. I don't know that you need mace for a situation like that. But my whole thing with that whole thing, and it was the big, big story, is if you don't like what they're doing, you probably should have fought harder during the game itself. I always love when somebody loses and then puts up a fight afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a little disrespectful. But I don't know that it was ever confirmed that it was pepper spray or mace.
Well, yeah, because you see those two players, they look like they're crying. They're like, their eyes are closed. I don't know. So this is Ohio State football coach Ryan Day on his players rushing in to assault Michigan after the defeat. This is what he said.
Yeah, I don't know all the details of it, but I know that, you know, these guys, you know, are looking to, you know, put a flag on our field, and our guys weren't going to let that happen. So, you know, I'll find out exactly what happened, but, you know, it's just... this is our field, and certainly, you know, we're embarrassed at the fact that we lost the game, but you know, there's some prideful guys on this team that we're just letting it happen.
Yeah. You've lost to Michigan four straight years, pal. Big buyout coming when you get fired to sit at home. By the way, Baker Mayfield did that years ago for Oklahoma at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. It was like 7 or 8 years ago, and he planted the flag.
Oh.
And he got read the riot act for doing so.
Michigan running back Khalil Mulligans. After this all happened, this is what he said. This is a three.
What's going through your head right now?
Yeah, you know, it was for such a great game. You hate to see stuff like that after the game. You know, it's just bad for the sport, bad for college football. But at the end of the day, you know, some people gotta learn how to lose, man. You can't be fighting this stuff just because you lost a game. You know, all that fighting, we had 60 minutes, we had four quarters to do all that fighting. And now people want to talk and fight. That's wrong, you know. Yeah.
Yep. That's what I said. You had 60 minutes to fight harder. You lost. Deal with it. A little disrespectful, but you know what? Not the end of the world. Yeah. Not the end of the world. By the way, it apparently happened at a lot of the big rivalry games over the weekend. It was like three or four different games where there was the flag being planted.
Oh, really?
I kind of like it. I'm going to bring the Kale and Company flag out. I'm going to plug that bad boy at the 50.
By the way, we have people that want to display it on their trucks.
So yes.
You have to bring it in.
Okay. I'll bring it in tomorrow.
Bring it back in tomorrow.
We'll do.
And everybody who emailed me about it, I'll be in touch.
All right.
Let's get to one voice now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hate to make this point, but in regards to vaccinations and the outbreak of different diseases, don't be surprised if some people who are coming over the border are bringing some of those diseases with them. They may not have been vaccinated. So
they definitely haven't.
That's one thing that never seems to factor into the equation of outbreaks. It's always blamed on people who say that they're non-vaxxers, things like that, instead of considering that people just have been coming into the country that may not have addressed that issue themselves. Thanks.
Yeah. Great point. It's amazing. Americans get criticized for not taking a vaccine, yet we allow people 15 million in the last 4 years to come across. It's kind of the same hypocrisy with the COVID shot.
Yeah.
Americans had to get the COVID shot. People coming across the border didn't.
Yeah.
Why the difference there? Makes no sense to me.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Cyber Monday. This is a friendly reminder to all you listeners here at 1210. We can donate to the 5th Annual Andy Chan Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation Gala at gregstockersucks.com.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What a versatile website.
I love it.
That website's
it really is
great for everything.
It really is. But yes, you can donate the Andy Chan Block Party December 20th. If you can't go, tickets are only $20. All the money goes to the Families Behind the Badge charity. Make sure you donate gregstockersucks.com.
There you go. All right, voicemails in the book as we head to Phil Omquist at 9:51. Fred, another Jets loss.
Music history. Music history. Kaylee Company.
Today, December 2nd, we celebrate the birthdays of Chris Wolstenholme from Muse, who's 46, Nate Mendel from the Foo Fighters, who's 56, Rick Savage from Def Leppard, who's 64, and Britney Spears, who's now 43. We also lost Led Zeppelin's tour manager, Richard Cole, in 2021, Eric Wolfson from the Alan Parsons Project in 2009, and Bobby Keys from the Rolling Stones in 2014. Singles include David Bowie's debut Rubber Band in 66, How Long by Ace in 75, and Black Dog by Led Zeppelin in 71. Albums include Talking Is Hard by Walk the Moon in 2014, Blues and Lonesome by The Stones in 2016, and Quiet Riot 2 by Quiet Riot in 78. Also, and this is where we begin our police blotter today, in 2002, Oasis singer Liam Gallagher was arrested and charged with assault after he kung fu kicked a police officer. In 78, Rod Stewart was topped the UK singles chart with Do You Think I'm Sexy? In 83, MJ's Thriller debuts on MTV. In 2007, Sharon and Ozzy made more than $800,000 for charity after selling off some of their possessions from a former home. In 73, The Who were jailed overnight in Montreal, falling $6,000 worth of damage at their hotel after their show at the Forum. And on this day in 2003, Darkness singer Justin Hawkins was held for 2 hours at JFK Airport in New York after police mistook him for a wanted man with the same name and looks, and they only let him go after his fiance produced a tour schedule to prove he was in England when the crime took place. But lastly, in late breaking, AC/DC just announced a summer tour for next year. The nearest show is not Philly, not MetLife Stadium, but Landover, Maryland on May 12th. Tickets go on sale on Friday the 6th. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
Oh, FedEx Field, that's a dump.
That's a dump.
Where the Commanders play.
It is. It's a complete dump.
Unbelievable.
Are you going to that show, Phil?
Probably not, but maybe. I mean, who knows?
It's AC/DC, like Brian Johnson and,
yes.
And Angus.
Yeah, wow. Yes, absolutely.
Because I had heard that Axl might be torn with
yes,
that.
Yes, no, that's fake news.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. By the way, just a quick note on Phil's obsession with the Jets. Yeah. Had to be rough for Phil to go and watch Aaron Rodgers lose yesterday to Geno Smith, who is the former Jets quarterback. And by the way, do you know who is broadcasting the game? Former Jet and Eagle quarterback Mark Sanchez.
Not only that, but Leonard Williams, who was drafted by the Jets, had the pick six of Aaron Rodgers.
Just sell your tickets for groceries. Just enough.
And yet I'm going to Jacksonville in 2 weeks.
God bless you.
God.
All right.
Oh my God.
Dawn Show, top of the hour. What do we have lined up 6 minutes from now, Dawn?
Yeah, we have so much going on. So we have an important trial that we're going to check in with. We have another news of another illegal immigrant, some of those numbers that are coming out. I'll do a little, we'll do a wrap up, if you say, of suburban, the elections, but also which local suburb, Collar County, that went blue, now their tax increase, nearly 30% tax increase. So congratulations. You're going to get what you deserve, apparently. Huh. All of that. And we have so much. We're jam-packed. Great guests. Stay tuned.
Dawn Show coming up top of the hour. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your Cyber Monday. Waste all your disposable income with purchases from Amazon, and we will talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.